Psalm 61 and read verse 2. Psalm number 61 and reading verse 2. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I guess we've all been in those situations when driving down the motorway and we think that it is clear, there doesn't seem to be any problems, it's free flowing, there's little traffic, and we're happily motoring down the road. And suddenly we see the lights come up on the boards, and within minutes we come across a load of red lights and a traffic jam. Suddenly, what seemed to be clear, what seemed to be easy going, turns into a long delay, perhaps in a jam. It can seem like we're getting on well, and without knowing it, there's a problem that makes us stop. You know, a Christian life can often be like that. We can think we're getting on well, that it's going quite easy. It's going as we expect it. It's, as it were, a free-flowing road. There's no problems. We walk on easily and happily. And suddenly, something can happen which makes us stop. It makes us grind to a halt, as it were. The Christian life is not always easy. It is not always a life full of joy. And every believer finds, from time to time, we reach a point that we feel like we're grinding to a halt. You know, the Bible is refreshingly realistic. It does not paint a picture of happiness and joy continually, which is unrealistic to the reality of Christian life. The Bible is refreshingly realistic. And here we have one of those true realistic statements, as it were, for a true Christian. Here we have David. We all have probably heard of David. David was king of Israel. David was converted by God at a young age. David was a true believer. He was described as a man after God's own heart. And he walked very often in the joy of the Lord, enjoying his blessing, enjoying his presence. He had much to thank God for and much communion with his God. And yet even David reached a point that he wrote Psalm 61. Even David utters the words that we have read in verse 2, that from the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Even David felt like he is, as it were, grinding to a halt and cannot go on. It may be, some think, that this psalm was written at a time when David's son Absalom rebelled against him, and that David had to flee from the capital Jerusalem into the wilderness. There was a rebellion in his kingdom, and his son for a while put himself on the throne. David was in real physical distress and problems at that time. It may be this psalm was written at that time. It may not be, because God's people, whether they, it may be a real physical experience which brings them here, it may not. Sometimes Christians come here in their feelings, even if there is not a particular outside influence that has brought them there. But David, whatever the background, whatever the reason, he came to realize when he wrote this psalm that there were great difficulties in his life and that there was great instability. And he needed and longed for something stable, something reliable, something real that he could hold on to. What he really desires is God. His God to come and be with him. He longs for God's help. He longs for God's presence. He needed him. He pleaded with him. He longed for him. He cries to him. Because what his real problem is that he feels that God is distant. The God who he loves, the God who he's relied on, the God who has been his strength in the past, he feels to be distant from him. And he cries for help. And he cries this from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. Tonight, do we think like that? Are we feeling like that? Are you joining in with David's cry, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee? What did he feel like? He felt like he had been driven away. Perhaps physically he'd been driven out of Jerusalem, if it's written at the time of Absalom's rebellion. But either way, he certainly felt like, in his soul, he'd been driven away. He was far, far off from his God. He was at the end of the earth, far away from his God. And as a result, he couldn't reach him. He couldn't see him. He couldn't reach out to him. He couldn't make his way back to him. He felt he was at the end of the earth, as far away from God as he could get. And there was much between him and his God. We imagine the picture, maybe many miles between where he was and the city, perhaps the place he wanted to get to. There's much difficulty, much desert, many mountains perhaps that he would need to traverse to get there. There's much between him and his God, and he could not see him. Could not feel his presence. He couldn't hear his voice. God seemed so remote to him, so distant to him. Do you know something tonight of that experience? Where is God? Where is the God that I love? Where has he gone? I'm at the end of the earth. I can't reach him. I don't feel his presence. I don't seem to hear his voice. Oh, I'm at the end of the earth. And he's just about clinging on. He's just about clinging on to faith in God. He's at the end of the earth. Are you there tonight? Where is my God? Oh, it seems such a long time ago I enjoyed his blessing. It seems such a long time ago I had assurance of my salvation, and I feel now I'm far distant from him. I'm at the end of the earth. I'm clinging on, just about holding on, but I fear that I'm going to slip and I'll lose him forever. Do you feel tonight? Maybe it's a circumstance that's come into your life. Maybe it's just between you and God and no one knows anything about what you're thinking and feeling. But you're at the ends of the earth. He also says, when my heart is overwhelmed. My heart is overwhelmed. He feels distant. But in addition to that, his heart is overwhelmed. It's within him, you see. It's not just outside. His heart is overwhelmed. In the very depths of his being, in his heart, he is pained. He is overwhelmed by the experience he's in. It feels like everything is crushing down upon him. To crush him, to hide him from God. He's at the ends of the earth and his heart's overwhelmed. He's groaning in his own heart. Maybe difficulties in your life. I don't know. Maybe it's uncertainties for your future. Maybe it's changes that have come into your life that you weren't expecting. Maybe it's doubts. Maybe doubt is crushing down on your mind and on your heart that the word of God is true and that God is really God. Maybe it's your sin, the things you've done wrong which you know God hates. Maybe it's the weight of guilt upon you that God's law has said what you've done is wrong. Maybe it's temptations that you're tempted to do wrong, and in your heart you know that you're weak against them. Maybe it's the attractions of the world around you that you want to do wrong things, that you can see the attraction of wrong things, that you fear your weakness in the light of temptation. Whatever it may be, you feel it's crashing down on your heart. It's overwhelming you. It's becoming too much for you to bear. And all of this when God feels absent. All of this when God feels absent. If you had God with you, you feel that you'd have the strength to bear it. But He is absent. He is far away, and your heart is overwhelmed. It's overwhelmed. It feels to be too much. Do you feel like it's too much tonight? It's too much. You come to God. Say, Lord, I can't go on anymore. Lord, I can't take another step. Lord, I can't walk any further in the Christian life that you're mapping out for me. Lord, I can't walk any further in this uncertainty. I can't take another step in this difficulty. I can't take another step in this weight which I'm carrying. Lord, perhaps which the Lord has put on you, which you didn't bring on yourself, perhaps. A circumstance you didn't expect, a circumstance you didn't seek for, and God's brought it into your life, and you say, Lord, I can't bear it another day. I can't go on another step. I'm losing my faith. I'm losing my assurance in you. I'm losing your presence. I'm losing the peace which I once enjoyed when I trusted in you. I'm losing the hope of eternity when I believed that God was near at hand. I feel like giving up. I feel like running away. You ever feel like that? It's running away. I can't dare. Can't carry this burden anymore. My heart is overwhelmed. If only I could just get away. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Could you describe it like this? As a man is floundering in the water and he's starting to sink in the sea and he's gasping for air. Is that where you are in a spiritual way? You're gasping for spiritual air, crying for something to make your soul alive again, because you're close to drowning. You mourn your sin. You're mourning an absent God. You're mourning your own weakness, and you need Him. You need Him to come. You know He can make it right again. You know He can help you, because He has before, because He promises to, but you need Him, and He is far off, and you're at the ends of the earth. It's been a long time, and you can't take another step. From the end of the earth, where my heart is overwhelmed. Do you know anything of that? Does it describe you? Well, what did he do? Did he give up? Did he just muster up some strength in himself and say, well, I don't need God anymore, I'll carry on my own? Does he just go on trying to convince others that all is well, that he's lively in his soul when he's not? What does he do? From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. He still cried. He cried unto God. He didn't stop praying. He still had that. He had lost everything else, but he still had that. He still had prayer. That had not been taken away from him. But he cried, you see. He didn't pray, as it were, a formal, well-executed, well-planned prayer. He didn't try to convince God that all was well. He didn't try to convince God that he was healthy. He didn't try to convince God that there wasn't a problem. He cried to God out of the depths of his heart. And this cry had meaning. He cried from an overwhelmed heart. It wasn't an outward show to impress God or an outward show to impress anyone else. He cried and said what he meant. And I believe this cry indicates a persistent cry, a cry that he couldn't stop crying. He couldn't stop crying. He kept crying. And that was all he could do. Just as it were, lifting up his overwhelmed heart to God. Here it is, Lord, I cry unto thee tonight. If this is describing you in any way tonight, can you stop crying? You say, I feel like giving up. I feel like not believing anymore. I feel like letting go of everything that God's given me. I feel like throwing the Bible out of the window. But can you stop crying? Can you stop praying? Your soul, it can't, can it? It keeps crying to God. It keeps going out to Him. You're losing everything you thought you had, but your heart is just still lifting up to Him. You're still presenting your overwhelmed heart to Him, saying, Lord, here it is. This is how I feel. As I say, you may not realize you're doing it hardly, but you're still crying. You're still longing for Him. You're still desiring Him. You're crying to God. It's a groaning. It may not be coherent, but it's a groaning to God, when I cry unto thee, even though you're tempted to give up, I cry unto thee. Why is that? You know, don't you? You know He's the only one who can help. You know He's the only one who can revive you. He's the only one who can calm you. He's the only one who can show you the way. He's the only way that can open the door. He's the only one who can bring you back near to Him. He's the only one who can come in the power of His presence. He's the only one who can speak comfort from His word. He's the only one who you need. And that's why you keep crying. Jacob needed Him, didn't he? Think of Jacob, who'd been wrestling all night long. He was tired, he was weary. He'd been wrestling. It's hard work, isn't it? Wrestling. If we had these picture of two men wrestling, it's hard work. He was tired. He felt beaten. And yet he says, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And do you feel, as it were, you're coming to that time of mourning for Jacob? You've been wrestling and wrestling in your difficulty. You've been wrestling. You're tired. You feel like giving up. But you can't let him go, because you need the blessing which only he can give. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Do you realize you need him? Do you realize that everything else is lacking in some way? Everything else you've been trying to satisfy your longing for with. The pleasures that you've been trying to satisfy this longing with, this hole in your life, this hole in your heart, this overwhelmed feeling. You realize that He is all that you need. You hold on to Him. I won't let you go unless thou bless me. He still cried. And what was his desire in his cry? From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. This is his desire. This is what he cries. This is what he wants. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me. He couldn't get there himself. He couldn't pick himself up and run and climb up on this rock and say, I've got here. Didn't I do well? Aren't I strong? He couldn't get there himself. He needed leading. He needed God to take him by the hand and take him there. He was too weak. The rock was too high. He feared failing. He feared falling. He needed God to take him by the hand. Lift me up. Lead me to the rock. Take me there. Bring me there again. Lead me to the rock. Again, you say you may be there. You may say, I'm at the end of the earth. I'm overwhelmed. I know where I would long to be. I know where I want to be. I want to be near the Lord Jesus again, but I can't get there. I seem to grope around. I'm trying to reach him, but I don't seem to get anywhere. Well, join with David. Lead me. Lord, take me there. Bring me there. Put me there. It'll be only him that can do it. It'll only be him that you praise afterwards. He will do it. Lead me to the rock. It shows, doesn't it, that David has come right down in any hope of his own strength. And God is doing that to you. He's bringing you down. So you've given up in walking in your own strength. He's given you up. You've given up, rather, anything good in your own heart. You've given up trying to, as it were, just saying, well, I'll just turn to the Lord again and all will be well. It doesn't really matter. He's brought you down. And now you're nothing. You're weak. And you look to him. You look to him who can lead you there. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And he wanted to be led where? To this rock. To a high rock. To a high rock. It's as if we can have this image, say, of a sailor in the sea. He feels like he's drowning and he's come to a rock. He's gasping for air and he's come to a bottom of a rock. And he's scrabbling at the bottom of the rock. And it's slippery. And he can't get a hold on it. And he's scrabbling at the rock as the waves beat round him. And the rock is high. He needs to be at the top. But he can't possibly get there himself. He's clinging to the bottom and he's crying, Lord, bring me to safety. Put me on the rock. Lift me up onto this rock. He needs someone to reach down the hand and pull him up as he struggles at the bottom. That is what we must be crying. Lead me to the rock. Lift me up onto a rock. And he wants to be on the rock that is higher than I. And what is that rock? If you consider it in comparison to all of these things that he's experienced, what is he desiring? He's desiring stability. Something which is solid. Something which is reliable like a rock, which cannot be moved, which cannot be taken away. He can stand there and be safe. He's looking for something safe and secure. And what is that? What is that? The rock. The Lord Jesus Christ. Put me on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put me on his security, the safety which is in him. Lord, in all this difficulty, put me on him who does not change. And how is the Lord Jesus Christ secure then? How is trusting in him a place of safety? Well, as I say, he is always the same. We're told in the Epistle to the Hebrews, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. He does not change. He is always the same. He is in that sense stable and reliable. His love has not changed. His power has not changed. His faithfulness has not changed. The same Jesus who we read about in the Gospels. The same Jesus who blessed the people, who loved the people. The same Jesus who reached down to the worst of sinners, as we thought about this morning. That same Jesus is the same today. He has that same heart, those same desires, the same ability to reach down. He's the same. That same Jesus who called you. Though you may feel at the ends of the earth now, you go back in your mind to that day that he called you. You go back in your mind to the day you became a Christian. Or the time you became a Christian. That Jesus who called you. That Jesus who saved you. That Jesus whom you came to love at that time. He has not changed. He's the same today. He's a rock. He hasn't moved. The love, the power to save, the faithfulness to his promises. He's the same. Oh, isn't the desire, Lord, put me back on that rock. Put me back on that Jesus who I was so, who loved me and who I loved. Put me back near to him. You may feel far off. You may feel far off, but he has not moved. He is not moved. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Isn't that wonderful? The same Jesus today and into the future. Into the uncertain future. All of us have an uncertain future. We don't know what the future holds for us. Perhaps some of us have particular concerns in the coming future. We don't know what will come into our life. We don't know what we'll have to cope with. He's the same. He has not changed. He is a rock. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. So Jesus is the same, which means, of course, that your salvation in Jesus is also secure. This is a rock which cannot be moved. Your salvation is secure. However you may feel, however distant you may feel from your Saviour, however far off you may feel you have wandered, however overwhelmed your heart may feel to be, this is a truth which cannot ever be removed. Your salvation, if you're a believer tonight, your salvation is secure. It's on the rock. Cannot be moved. It is forever safe. That's why we read in that chapter, a chapter in Isaiah's prophecy in chapter 49, we read those wonderful, encouraging words, and really it sums up perhaps how we may be feeling and how David's feeling in this text. It says this: Zion said, "The Lord hath forsaken me, and my God, thy Lord, hath forgotten me." Maybe we feel like that. We're far off from him, and God's forsaken me. God's forgotten me. He's left me for so long. I've cried for so long, and he's forgotten me. He's forgotten all about me. He doesn't listen to me anymore. What's God's response? Can a woman forget a sucking child? As she should not have compassion on the son of her womb, yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Our names, as it were, not written on his hands. Not something that can be rubbed out. I've graven thee on the palms of my hands. Ever before him. Ever in front of him. And as he holds his wounded hands from his death and suffering in front of his Father, it's as if our names are also presented to him as he intercedes for us. We're graven on his hands. It can't be removed. Can't be etched out. Can't be rubbed out. They're graven there. Once in Christ, we sing sometimes. In Christ. Forever. Our salvation is secure. It's a truth. It's a fact. Lord, but my heart's overwhelmed. I've graven thee on the palms of my hand. Lord, but I'm at the end of the earth. You're graven on the palms of my hands. Lord, why do you wait so long to answer my prayer? Oh, you wait still, because you're graven on the palms of my hands. Lord, why don't you show me the way? Oh, in my wisdom I will. But don't forget, you're graven on the palms of my hands. Our salvation is on a rock. Also on this rock, we must remember that his way is perfect. His way is perfect. He works in solid, secure wisdom. He does not change his mind. He does not think one thing one day and then lead you in a different way another day. He does not sway around with circumstances. He is not swayed by other people. Nothing takes him by surprise. His will is as a rock. His way is perfect. David could say that. We read it twice, both in the Psalms and in the book of Samuel. His way is perfect. And David had a difficult life. David came across many problems. He had a lot of sadness in his family. He had a lot of sin in his own life. He had many enemies. He had many wars to fight. And sometimes the way must have seemed very confusing and very strange. The times that he was hounded around the wilderness by King Saul. The times he was sleeping in caves. Times he didn't know if he'd even survived the night. And yet he comes to the end of it all. He looks back and he says, as for God, his way was perfect. There was no fault whatsoever. I can find no error in it. It was and it is perfect. His will was right. His will was right. We're told, aren't we, that all things work together for good for them that love God. All things work together for good. We don't always believe that. We don't always believe it, do we? And you may be sitting there tonight and you're saying, how on earth is the life I am having to live right now working for my good? It's doing me harm. It seems to be driving me away from God. It's making my heart cry out and yet I don't receive any answers. How can it possibly be for my good? Well, I don't know. I can't give you the answers. But I can tell you that the Lord promises is that it is for your good. It will make you more like him. It will make you more appreciative of the sufferings of Christ. It will make you glorify him more when he comes and he answers your prayers. It makes you more conformed to the image of his dear son. It prepares you more and gets you that next step to glory. It's working for your good. His way is perfect. The rock doesn't change. It's secure. And it's right for us to make us like him. To make us prove him and his goodness. Oh, lead me to the rock. Lord, bring me to again rely on these truths. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Another sense of this rock is his promises. The Lord's promises. Promises that cannot be broken. Promises that cannot be removed. And we can cling to these promises. Hold on to them even when we don't feel them. We can plead them before God. Take them to him. Say, Lord, it is promised. And Lord, you are a rock. And therefore, the promise cannot be broken. He cannot change his mind. And what does he promise? I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. You take that to him. Say, Lord, I feel like I'm far away. Lord, I feel overwhelmed. But you have promised you will never leave me, nor forsake me. I believe it. I cling to it. Lord, prove it. May I prove it. I will never leave thee. Never leave thee. He will never, never leave us. Nor will let us quite leave him. He is always there. He always knows where we are. It's a promise we can take to our God. The promise of answered prayer. Whatsoever thing you shall ask in my name, that shall I do it. Here's a promise we can take to God. Lord, I've been praying for many years, perhaps. Lord, I've been seeking. And thou hast said, whatsoever thing you shall ask in my name, that shall I do it. Now, we don't come and dictate to God. But when we come rightly in his name, that is humbly, in an attitude of acknowledging who Jesus Christ is, acknowledging that his way is perfect, acknowledging that he knows best, and acknowledging that he has power to do all things. When we come in his name, in the right attitude, when you come in my name, I will do it. We have no encouragement in the Bible to give up praying. We have every encouragement in the Bible to keep on and on coming to God in prayer. We have a promise. Take it to him. Lord, I keep praying because you have told me not to let go. We have the promise of his prayer, of prayer. We have the promise of a good end. What does he say? I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I shall come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You take that to him. You take it to him. Say, Lord, I'm far off. I'm overwhelmed. And yet you have promised that I will be with you where I am, where you are. Where you are, I shall be also. I don't know how, when I feel far off and overwhelmed, that can possibly be true. I don't know how I'm going to ever be brought back again. I don't know how you're going to lift me up and put me on the rock. I don't know how it can be done. I don't know when it will be done. I don't know what the result may be. But I believe the end is to be with you in glory, with these mansions prepared. Lead me to that rock. The promise of eternal safety. Lead me to that rock. Help me to cling to that rock. And it's sure. It's certain. Lead me there, Lord. And then I shall walk out in thy strength again to that time. Oh, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. You see, what does it do? As I say, it takes us away from anything that we were relying on in ourselves. When we were trying to earn anything, or when we were walking in our own strength, in our own pride, which, if we're honest, we often do. And he brings us here so that our eyes will be taken away from all those things. And we will look to him alone. You know, so many things take up our minds, don't they, in our lives. And they're not all bad things. Sometimes they're things which the Lord has brought in our paths. Sometimes they're things which we didn't expect. Things that we didn't bring to ourselves. He's brought us there. But it's taking over. If you're like that, it's taking over. I can't let it go. Lord, help me just for a little while, as it were, to look beyond those things. I know I'll have to come back to them. I know I'll have to deal with them. But Lord, just for a little while, when my heart is overwhelmed, put me back on the rock. Help my mind, my eyes, to focus on Christ and him alone. May I find refreshing in him, security in him. And then, oh, things may not change. Though your circumstances may not change. Though the issues may still be there. Yet standing on Christ, relying on him, looking to him, trusting in him and his perfect way, trusting in his salvation secure for you, looking to him, then we can leave it. We're all in his hands, can't we? We can leave it with the Lord and say, thy will be done. Wonderful encouragement we were thinking of back at home, even this week. And me and Alison. How the Lord Jesus said, thy will be done. Thy will be done. One point in the Gospels we read of the Lord Jesus that he knew what he would do. And yet he also has the experience of saying, thy will be done. We have a Saviour who knows all things. Our life is known to him. He knows what he will do. The future is known to him. He holds it in loving hands. And yet he sympathises with you because he also knows what it is to have to bow down and say, thy will be done. I'll go the way my Father directs. I'll go to suffering. I'll go to Calvary. If it's his will. You know, we may have to do that. Lord, I'm at the end of the earth. Thy will be done. Put your life in his hands. Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. You see, this prayer was answered. This prayer still is answered. And this prayer will be answered for you and for you. For you and for me. The Lord will bring us near to himself again when we truly desire, when we truly long for him. He will come. And I believe he will come as described in the Song of Solomon, skipping over the mountains and leaping on the hills. One day we will see the joy again. My heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. You look to him. You keep crying. You keep pouring out your complaint. You keep crying when you don't know what words to say. You keep presenting your overwhelmed heart to Him. You look again to Him. The stability, the reliability, the truth in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will find by His grace that you will walk again in His strength. You will walk again, as Peter did, on the waves of the storm in His strength. And you will magnify His name. Because how did you get on the rock? Who put you on the rock? Who established your goings again? Who made you safe? Who gave you faith to trust in His promises? Who gave you grace to rely on Him again? He led you to the rock. May these experiences lead us to have greater views of Him. Join with John. He must increase, and I must decrease. From the end of the earth will I cry unto Thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Amen.